Well, good morning again. So thankful to be here on the Lord's Day, on Resurrection Day. You know, this is a very special day to the people of God, isn't it? It's a very special time. I would say the most special time of the year, because this is when the Lord rose again. When he was resurrected, and we find that he brought light and he brought life to the world. I wrote on the board, "He careth for you." I want to deliver what I feel like the Lord has given us this morning. I want to start in 1 John 4 and 9. And it says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." You know, this morning, I would have a better understanding of that this morning as we study together. The scripture told us that there was something that was manifested to us. There was something for us to understand. And it says that the love of God was manifested to us. It's given to you and me, and we can understand it is so because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. I don't know what you think of Jesus this morning, but I will tell you what I think of Jesus. I think he came to bring light and life. I want to tell you this morning, as I said a while ago, taking prayer requests, when I saw the sun come up this morning, it was beautiful. It was a beautiful morning. And I realized, and I looked out there, and I saw all that light, and I saw what God sent into this world in a natural sense. He sent light, and because of light, folks, if we didn't have that, we would not have life. Did you know that? If there was no sun up there, there would be nothing growing, and you and I would have nothing to eat. Nor could we grow and prosper. But because there is light, and because that light begets life, we have all the things that we have. Isn't it a wonderful place that God made? It is only sin that messes it up. But I want to tell you, God came to bring light, and he came to bring life this morning. Whatever your thought of God is, I want to tell you what he came for. He manifested his love to us in that he sent his only begotten Son into the world to die for our sins, not for his sins, to die for us in our place, that we might have light and life spiritually. And you know, we can have that this morning. The Lord wants us to have more than a form. He wants us to have more than our ideas. He wants us to have the light of God in our soul. And he wants us to have life from heaven that lives and breathes the Spirit of the Lord into our life this morning. And so I want to look at a few scriptures and challenge us this morning. We have been preaching a little series on marriage. And I'm not done. And it would seem so odd to preach something like that today, but I don't think it will when we're done. For 3 weeks, the Lord's been talking to me. And I want to share with you a few things that he gave me this morning. I want to tell you, the Lord careth for you. And he proved it. He showed it because he died for us. Now, I want to read first a little about the resurrection, because it's only appropriate this morning. I feel like the Lord gave me these scriptures too along with it. But Matthew 27 and 22 says, "Pilate saith to them. Here we go. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude. Do you think that washed all the guilt away? I don't think so. But he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it. Go ahead and crucify him. Go ahead and do what you want to with him. For me, I'm innocent from it. Well, he had the power to stop it, actually, and didn't. But, you know, Jesus was crucified, and no man took his life without him giving it up. He could have called legions, 12 legions of angels. He said, don't you know I could call all these legions of angels? But he didn't do that. He gave up his life for you and me because he cared about us. Because he loved us. That's why he did that. And I want to tell you something else he did. In Matthew 28 and 1, we see where it says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Now what was inside where this stone was? The body of Jesus, supposedly, right? They came back, they rolled that stone back. That's where Jesus had been put. But I want to tell you this morning, that's not the end of the story. Jesus didn't just die for you. I want to tell you something else. Let's read on. His countenance was like lightning, this is the angel, and his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him the keepers did shake, and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Here's where he was, but he's not here. You know, this morning, we serve a live and risen Savior. And I want to tell you, He comes to bring to your life and to mine. I want to tell you something. He comes to bring to your light and to mine light, which begets life. He come to bring the life of the Lord in our heart and in our soul. He came to bring to us what we could not have in ourselves. He came to bring that. And so we find him arising. If you read in Malachi, it talks about the Son of Righteousness has risen with healing in his wings. I don't know where you're at in life this morning, but I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ rose with healing in his wings for you. He rose to take care of your problems, to help you through them. He rose to answer your questions. He rose to help you in all your needs of life. He rose to deliver you from sin. That's what Jesus rose for. He rose to take us to heaven with himself. Jesus did that. And he is alive, folks. I have no question in my mind. I have no question because he's alive in my heart this morning. I want to tell you, when I saw the sunrise this morning and I saw that possibility that it brings of new life and new hope, that's for you and me in a spiritual way. Because he's the Son, S-U-N, that's what it calls it in Malachi. He's the Son of righteousness. And he has risen with healing in his wings for you and me. I don't know about your problems, but I've had enough problems in my life. Sin had its mark on my life. But I want to tell you, Jesus Christ came with healing in his wings. Thank the Lord this morning. And so, so I want to turn that to what he does for us in our personal life and relationships. There's a scripture, this is in 1 Peter 5 and 7. It goes like this, casting all your care upon him. Does anybody know what the rest of that says? For he careth for you. I would this morning that the Lord would help us to absorb into our soul this morning that he cares for you. And I trust that God will cause us to absorb in our souls this morning that he wants to put that same care in us for one another. Care is manifested. Care is not something deep in the heart that never has any arms or legs or anything like that. Care actually is manifested. How do you know someone cares? Anybody? How do you know someone cares? Because you see it, don't you? You feel it. You can know it. And Jesus manifested his care to you and me by his death, by his resurrection, by the fact that he deals with us, doesn't he, this morning? You know, when you really understand that kind of care, it changes the dynamics of a relationship. And so this morning, I want to talk a little bit this morning about our care for one another. This is a piece of God. It's a piece of that stream that flows out from under the throne that comes down to us today and makes our life what it is. It's a piece of that. And Jesus tells us, or his word, inspired word, tells us to have a care for one another. There's a song in our book, 253, and it says, "Let us ever love each other with a heart that's warm and true, ever doing to our brother as to us we'd have him do." Now, this is sounding pretty basic, isn't it? It is pretty basic. It's one of the building blocks of our life and our relationships. And this morning, I would that God would reveal some things to us this morning that I think will be a blessing to us. The song, as we said, kind and loving to each other, or let us love each other with a heart that's warm and true, ever doing to our brother as to us we'd have him do. It comes out of our heart, doesn't it? A heart is affected by what's in it. And the Lord wants to put some things in our heart this morning. The refrain says, kind and loving to each other. That's the way I found Jesus to be. I have not found Jesus to be a hard taskmaster. The devil is a hard taskmaster. Kind and loving to each other, gentle words to all we meet. Thus we follow Christ our Savior, proving all his service sweet. When the heart is sad and lonely, and the eyes with tears o'erflow. Has anybody ever been there? You ever been in a sad and lonely place where you just felt like, I don't even know what to say to anybody? And the tears may pop out of your eyes. I don't cry real often like that. But I have. I know what that means. Gentle words and deeds of kindness fall like sunbeams on the snow. Do we know what that's like? You ever seen sunbeams on the snow? They're bright. They're beautiful. They're cheery. They're a blessing, aren't they, this morning? That's the way gentle words and kind deeds are this morning. I want to tell you, or I want to share with you some things that are basic. But folks, marriage deals with the basic elements of our life. I would not normally, and I'm not apologizing, I would not normally preach a message like this on Easter morning. But I felt very impressed to do this. This is basic stuff. But it changes our lives. Basic things that change our lives. I want to read to you a few scriptures and share with you some thoughts this morning. Proverbs 25 and 11. Somebody tell me what that says. A word fitly spoken. Oh, like apples of gold. And pictures of silver. Did you know? That's beautiful, isn't it? Beautiful illustration. Apples of gold and pictures of silver. That's pretty. I can see it now. Words that are appropriately spoken. Words fitly spoken. Words that change the dynamics of the conversation. You know, you know what words can do with someone? Words can take someone, and if spoken enough, they can build confidence in them, can't they? Words sometimes help people to know, I can do that. I've had people tell me both ways. But I've had people tell you, you're good at that. You know what? That builds confidence, doesn't it? It makes you want to do good in that, doesn't it? Well, you know, words can do that for one another this morning. They can build each other's confidence. Did you know that the most powerful men in the world today need those words? Behind the scenes, they need to know their wife's standing behind them. Or whoever it is. They need to hear. Did you know that people that have great talents can become a crumpled mess of feelings by being torn down with words? Words can tear down and words can lift up with confidence this morning. They can challenge the best in people. Did you know you can speak to people in such a way that it brings the best out in them? Now I'm going to tell you right now up front, I'm talking about marriage this morning. And I want to get to some things that I think will help us. Words can warn people. It can keep people from doing things that are going to harm them, can't it? They can break people down. They can make people hang their heads. You remind them of something, some failure they had. Anybody in here never had a failure in their life? Not in their whole life? I want to tell you something. I know God came to bring us freedom. He came to bring us a life forever free from sin in our life. I believe that. But I want to tell you something. We can say things and bring up, especially in marriage, where we know each other very intimately, we can bring up things, can't we, that makes people hang their head. You know what that does? It's a very negative issue in relationships. They can give courage or shame. They can build bonds between people. Did you know that words can build bonds between people when you accept them and when you work together? Did you know a whisper can separate chief friends? Words are pretty powerful, aren't they? They can do all those things this morning. And I want to encourage us today to remember how this whole thing operates in our homes, in our relationships, our marriages, our business dealings. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 24, it says here, "For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another." And that's what I want to think about this morning, having the same care one for another. Did you know the body, this is talking about the natural body here and the spiritual body, but did you know this natural body, I have never had my hand to do something evil to my leg. I have never had any part of my body, maybe when it's sick or maybe something goes wrong. But the body, as it operates normally, it helps one another at all times, in every way. If something is flying at you, I want to tell you, your whole body, everything about you is going to come into play really quickly, isn't it? It's going to be natural. It's going to be something that happens. You know, God has tempered the body together so that there is no schism in it, but that it has the same care one for another. This care comes from that care that the Lord brought to you and me. And so this morning, we see that modeled. We see that coming from the Lord as He comes down and He gives Himself for us, don't we? I have never had the Lord unleash on me. I haven't. I've had him correct me. I've had him even punish me. But I want to tell you something. I have never had the Lord slap me around. Did you know that? Not even with words. Never had that happen. I want to tell you, there are some things that the Lord put in His body for us to understand and realize His workings a little more. And so in our homes, I want to encourage us in our homes, folks, to apply these things. We don't have to be gushing with feelings to be kind. Is that all right? It's certainly all right. We don't have to have a special inspiration to be kind or to say a kind word. I want to tell you, God wants us to have marriages that are happy and holy, and they produce good things out of them. I want to tell you, the Lord wants people that can carry loads, folks. If our whole work is taken up in trying to get along or trying to survive, how are we going to help others? The Lord wants to give us some things that are really meaningful this morning. There's a scripture in Ephesians 4 and 32. And Lord, help us to, with this, the Lord has to bless it to our hearts, or it's just words. Listen to this. And it says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." I want to encourage us this morning. I know there's good marriages here. There's probably bad marriages here. We can all have a good one if we want. But we've got to put the right elements in it. And that comes from, whether we know it or not, those things come from the Lord. Those things that we want to put into our marriages, in the beginning, God gave them. He's the one that designed a marriage. Marriage came from God. He's the one that developed it. Amen. And so he says, be ye kind one to another. Now maybe we take this as a church. I want to take it this morning in all our relationships. This isn't just for marriage, but especially in marriage. It says, be ye kind one to another. What's that mean? What's it mean to be kind to one another? Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What did we do to merit that? We ask Him, Lord, please forgive me. But He made the way. He opened the door, didn't He? You know, I believe the Scriptures here are a formula. I want to come back to the question I asked, what's it mean to be kind? But the verse before that says something that is notable. We have to take that verse first, or we cannot be kind like we should be. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. Away, away. Put all of that stuff away with all malice. Now I want to tell you, you cannot be kind when you have unkindness in your heart. And so there's some things that we have to deal with in order to be kind that way. We have to allow God to deal with us on the first verse first, the 31. Let all bitterness and anger, wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, let all that be put away from us. If we're not able to do it, then we need more of God's grace, don't we? We need to search for that until we can forgive. Because you can't truly love until you have forgiven. Did you know that this morning? You cannot truly love unconditionally and with all of that. You can't do that unless you've forgiven. And you can't always forgive like we should without God's help. And so I want to encourage us this morning. I know we're talking basic things, but I want to tell you something. These basic things are the building blocks of our home. They are the atmosphere that our children feel. We want them to know the Lord. We want them to have a proper respect and love for God. Well, then there's somebody that needs to be modeling it, doesn't there? That's you and me. And so the first thing we have to do is clear from ourselves those elements. If there are those elements in our life, then we need to come before God and repent of that. Lord, I am so sorry. Lord, I know I've been praying for her, but it's me standing in the need of prayer. It's me. It's me. I need to forgive so that I can truly love. I hope that comes across. So this morning, okay, so then we move on to the next verse where it says, and be ye kind one to another. I want to tell you something this morning. Though this is so basic, this is so monumental in our lives. Showing deeds of kindness and words of kindness is monumental. It's huge. I want to tell you something. We want people to respond to us. We want our spouse to respond to us. Take some time to show kindness. Now, there are, in most people's marriages, there are those times when things get tight. It's just not flowing like it once was. It comes a place where you got to work through some things. Am I the only one that knows that? We know that, don't we? I want to encourage us to try some things. Okay? Try some things. I hope we understand what I just said. Forgive me if I'm being so too basic. But try some things. You know what? We have found that when you go, there's a time when maybe things are, the pressure is on every side. You're worn out, you're tired, Everything seems against you. Well, I want to give you something to try. Spend some time together and do nothing but show kindness to each other. Kind words, kind thoughts, kind deeds. Do things that the other one likes. That's pretty basic, isn't it? It's a huge building block in our life. Try it. You might be surprised at what that will do. Go out on a date. However your date is, whether it's out by the lake, whether it's at a restaurant or whatever, however your date is, go and leave the troubles behind and refuse to talk about one thing that you disagree on. Nothing but positive things. Is that okay? I want to tell you something that does. It gives you a chance to begin to build where maybe Satan has stolen. The Lord wants to build. He wants to build strong bonds between us. And that can happen. But it's not going to happen because we finally got everything hammered out and she sees just like I want her to see. Not going to happen, is it? Not usually. Not ever, probably. Try kindness. I was reading an article. This was just in Reader's Digest here a while back. And they had taken a whole bunch of couples that had lived, I don't know, 40, 50, 60 years together or something. And want to know, what is it? Maybe it was an old one, I don't remember. But you know what they said? Kindness. That's what they said. They showed, excuse me, they showed kindness to one another. Do you know this morning, kindness is a deed. It is a deed. It is not just a thought, at least the kind of kindness I'm talking about this morning. It has legs. It does things. It says things. Okay? It has a mouth. Try it. Forget the things we disagree on. Take some time to lavish upon one another kindness. Okay, she wants me to do, I need to fix the whatever. And so I need to go fix that leak on the faucet. You know what? Maybe that's something I need to do. I don't know of a faucet leaking right now. But things like that. You know, you like to, I know she likes certain things. I've had to learn that, you know what? It really works to stretch out and do not just what I like, but what she likes. I'm really motivated to care and to show I care. Lift the other up by words and deeds of kindness. I want to give you those two scriptures right there, Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, as a prescription for a marriage. I believe Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3 are two chapters that if you want a healthy and a holy and a godly home, study those two chapters, study those and put them into your life. Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3. I believe that they have some of those basic building blocks that make life so different when we put them in place. You know, the learning curve is way too long for us to learn how to show love sometimes. You know, it's easy for us to love in our way. To me, words mean something. They mean something to me. They don't mean as much to her as they mean to me. But I want to tell you something. We have to love them in the way that they perceive love. And they might be feeling like, okay, we have told them over and over. I've told you every day I love you. I tell you five times a day. Or I told you when I got married. That's not enough, is it? We have to show them we love them. It's our duty. It's our God-given duty, and it's not just our duty, folks. This is our privilege. This is a beautiful privilege of the people of God that we can have. We can actually have forgiveness in our heart for the things that have offended us. And then we can have love that comes from under the throne of God, came down through Jesus Christ. It comes through us. The Spirit of the Lord wants to enliven it in our lives. I want to tell you, the Lord wants to give us love for one another. That's what God wants to do. But the learning curve is long sometimes. And it takes us a long time to realize, you know what? My words aren't getting it. She wants some time. She wants my time. She just wants me to be there. Folks, we have to learn from each other. We have to ask each other what fulfills one another. Do you know that's part of kindness this morning? Let's learn how to be good at this. Because I want to tell you something. A good marriage is something to be had. It's something to fight for. It's something that is a blessing. And it's not just a blessing to us. It makes a strong structure for us to serve others from. It does. It makes a strong structure for our children to get a proper view of the Lord this morning. And I'll say just a few more words to that. If we decide words are cheap, we're making a big mistake. False words are cheap. When we try to lift somebody up and we don't mean it, that's cheap. But words are not cheap. I know of a lady, she's dead now, but I know in her family, they were raised, this one sister of the family needed words of encouragement. She needed that. Her dad felt like words are cheap. He used very few words of encouragement. No such thing. The other girls felt totally full. He filled their love bank. He helped them. But when it came to words, this one was very lacking. And it really affected her life. It really affected her life. Affected how she felt about herself. You know, another type of person, a little flower means everything to. And some it means very little to. That's true. Some it means very little to. We have to learn. We have to accept the learning curve and learn what love is to one another. Not just in our home, but if we learn it there, it'll be a lot easier for us to learn it here, on our job, and all those places. God gives us a really tight place to learn it, doesn't He? And He says to learn it. Learn it. So what if the other one doesn't do everything they should do? Learn it anyway. Learn to do our part, and I'll tell you that humility and love generally breaks it down. I believe that. I've seen it happen. In Ephesians 5, next chapter, verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Do you see where we've come from now? We see what God did for us in sending his own son. We see how he loved the church, and he told us the church is a model of his. The church is as Christ and the church, so is marriage. That's what he's told us. As Christ loved the church, and what did he do for the church? He gave himself for it. He didn't wait for the church to be everything he wanted it to be, because it wasn't. It wasn't even such a thing. Christ came down and gave himself for it. Period. And the church hadn't done a thing. And he says, husbands, love your wives like that. Love your wife like that. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I want to tell you, these seem like basic elements. But what it does is, it proved to us The love of God is manifested to us, and we understand it because of what God did for us. Is that right? The love of God is manifested to us, and we understand it because He died for us. Hard not to understand that if we believe it, isn't it? It's hard not to understand that. I want to tell you, when we work with one another in our homes, in our lives, in our congregations, in the places that we're at in business, like that, people are going to pick up on that. And it'll change the dynamics of our marriage. Let's pull for one another. We can do deeds that tear each other down. People do that all the time. They do things to hurt someone else because they hurt them. Did you know that is satanic? That is straight from the devil. Has nothing to do with God and a good relationship. The Lord says, be ye kind one to another. And He tells us to be like, and I don't think He's just talking about husbands. He's talking about wives too. He wants us to be like Christ that gave Himself with no hope of you and I saying yes. Christ did that, didn't He? All this morning, there is something wonderful and positive about giving of yourself. And so this morning, that's the gist of what I wanted to say. I know it seems so basic, but it's so life-changing. It's so marriage-changing. And so we study in all these things trying to figure it out. Pretty simple, really, folks. Forgive each other. Truly forgive and love each other. And love each other not just, well, I love them. I know I love them. Show it. Manifest it by giving yourself. Undeservedly giving yourself. Well, they don't deserve it. Well, they're not. Hey, listen, that's okay. They're not. It's okay for you to manifest it anyway. Is that all right? We can fall into a chasm of sharp criticisms, can't we? We can fall into the chasm of stubbornness and pride. And I'm not giving. But there's such a price to pay for that. And folks, the beauty of God's way is so great. I want to encourage you and every one of us, myself, I'm encouraged to give myself even more so after this, studying this. Oh, the Lord bless and help us today. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. We all know that scripture, don't we? Well, He tells us to follow Him. Because marriage is supposed to be like the relationship between Christ and the church. And that's the way Christ gave for the church, didn't He? So the Lord help us. It comes out from under the throne of God. You know, there's a scripture that talks about, this is Mark 9:41 if you want to see it, but whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in My name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Did you know there is a reward for giving someone a cup of water in the name of Christ? Did you know there's a reward for the smallest deeds of kindness from our heart in our marriage? There is. There's a reward. It produces goodwill in the other, doesn't it? If it's continued, it does. It produces goodwill. And the Lord blesses it most of all. And what God blesses, He blessed a few little fish and loaves, and it turned into feeding 5,000 men and the ladies and the children too. I don't know how many there was. A lot of them. When God blesses something, it becomes something it wasn't. It multiplies immensely. And so we say, well, that wouldn't help because they don't receive it. Do it anyway. Try it. What I said a while ago, I'll say again. Try this out. Try this in your marriage and in your home. You might just be shocked. You might be shocked at what it will do. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He cares for you. I know he cares for you. He cares for me too. And I know because he died for us. I want to tell you, the Lord would have us to prove our love in our home. I think you'll be surprised at what it could do and what it might do. Those of us that, we all need it. But those of us that particularly need this especially, try it out. And see what it's worth in your home. Lord Jesus, bless our people today. Bless the marriages in this country. Lord, let your spirit, let your word go out to our world. We're in trouble, Lord, as a country. Change us, teach us as a country, Lord. Give us leaders that fear God. Father, today, bless these dear ones sitting under the sound of my voice today. Lord, and let your word enter and change things. In Jesus' name, amen.